Shabbat Shalom again. I don't know you, but I am in the expectancy mode. I've been expecting for the last few days, right? Because we've been prophesying. There's been word of sciences. There's been prophecies out there about how great the Lord is and about all this weekend. Is anyone else in the expectancy mode? Because I am. I'm ready and ready, and I know that I'm ready. Amen? If you would like to join me in prayer for one quick second, once again, come on, stand up with me. And let's keep on worshiping the Lord. Let's keep on saying thank you, Abba Kadosh, for all the wonderful things that you have done among us. And thank you for all the things that you are about to do, Father God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you for your healings upon your people. And thank you for this word that you are about to put in my lips, Father God. I ask you that you bear with us, that you keep on showing wonderfuls and miracles upon your people. In Yeshua's name, we all pray and we say, amen. Amen. Come on, yeah, put those hands together to the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated, yes. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Yep, so I'm going to be talking a little bit about you shall receive power. You shall receive power. Power to be my witness. Not my witness, but the Father's witness, okay? So we're going to go through Exodus, and then we're going to jump to Jeremiah, and then we're going to go to Luke, and then we're going to go to Acts. So we're going to go at least through four books of the Torah. Is that okay with you? Today in the chronological timeline in Torah, we are in the day 49 of the Omer, right? So basically what this means is that this is the third day from which the Lord told Moses, go down there and tell them to get ready to clean themselves, to wear new garments, because on the third day, I'm going to show up. So today is that third day, like after sundown, right? So at any time, if we go back, the Lord can show up. The Lord can come up to Mount Sinai, to this temple, to this synagogue, to this sanctuary, and do exactly the same thing that he did, right, when we were 4,000 years ago on Mount Sinai. So that's why I'm in the expectancy mode. I am waiting for the Ruach HaKodesh to come upon this place in a very special way. I know he is already in this place. We have called up upon him, right? We feel him. We have danced for him. We've been waiting for 49 days. Rabbi Jim said last week that one of the requisites, right, for this promise to be fulfilled, to be accomplished, it was that we needed to be praying, that we needed to be waiting, that we needed to be in unity. And we have been doing all these three things for the last 49 days in a very special way. So I am in the expectancy mode. Amen? Hallelujah. I am excited. I am excited. If we go to the next slide. Just as a review, once the Lord delivered the people of Israel from slavery, right, in chapter 19, he sent them to the promised land. And they went up to Sinai, and they got there on the third month. This is just a review. We can continue. Next slide, please. And Moses went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, say this to the house of Jacob, and tell Bnei Israel, to the people of Israel. And I love this because we need to be under covenant, whether with the house of Judah or with the house of Israel. There is no covenant from Elohim with other nation, but with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are either one or the other, because once you accept Yeshua as the only Savior, and once the blood of Yeshua has covered you, has cleansed you all your sin, you become part of either one or the other, right? Either ethnically, you don't need that, but if you have not born Jewish, then you become part of the house of Israel once you accept Yeshua as the only Savior. Let's go to the next slide. Now, if you listen closely to my voice, this is what the Lord told Moses to tell the people of Israel. And this is what I'm telling you today. I really want all the slides that I'm going to read to be fulfilled 100% in this place. I am enough. We should be enough with just reading and just saying, well, next year we're going to do that. Or tomorrow it may happen. No, I want this to happen today. I want miracles today. I want the gift of tongues today. I want the plenty of the Holy Spirit to be upon this place today. Now, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then it will be my own treasure from among all people. From all the earth, for all the earth is mine. This is the first promise. If you keep his commandment, if you keep his word, you're going to be his people, and he's going to be your God. And for us, this may mean nothing, but I was saying Wednesday evening in the Spanish service, by the way, it was on fire, the Spanish service, right? Oh my gosh, you are more than welcome Wednesday. For the Lord to say, I will be your God and you will be my people, it may mean nothing to us because our culture. But back then, people that were in slavery, they had no right to go to a temple. They had no right to talk to the gods, right? It was just the high hierarchy that would be able to do that. They were not even allowed to go into the sanctuary, into the pagan temples, because they were slaves, because they were little, they were diminished. Now the Lord is saying, I am going to be your God. You no longer a slave. You no longer a foreigner. You no longer all the way there. Now I'm asking you to come close to me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be within you. I want to be your God, who you can talk, who you can ask. And I'll be there for you. And this is what's happening here. In the next slide. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. That's what Sister Judy was saying, right? The Lord, all he's wanted, the plan at Mount Sinai was to make all his people a town, a people, to be Kohanim, to be priests, to be his holy nation, to be special people. And we have to believe that. Just like Sister Judy was saying, don't believe less than that. Don't believe that you are nothing. That's a lie from Satan. You are called to be a Kohanim. Kohanim, a people of God. You are called to be close to the Lord. Okay? You are called to be that people that minister the power of the Lord to others that do not know the power of the Lord. That's what you are called to be. That's what Shema Israel is being called to be today. Hallelujah, okay? So let's never forget about that. Let's never forget about that. Next slide. What really is happening here at Mount Sinai is a ketubah contract. It's a marriage contract. Right? So what is happening is that Adonai, which is the groom, is proposing the Hebrews, which is the bride, to have a ketubah, which is a marriage contract. And that ketubah is the first five books, right? The Torah. And this is the regular way that Jewish tradition performs a marriage. If we go to the next slide, I guess there is, yes. So what the Lord was trying to do up there was to do a marriage contract. He wanted to marry with his people. He wanted to be only one flesh with his people. Then if we go to the next slide, the Lord proposed to his people, if you do this, if you follow my commandments, if you don't kill, if you don't have idols, and if you don't do this, and if you don't do that, then I will be your God. And the people of Israel, they were in awe. They didn't even dare to get closer. They told Moses to speak for them. The people of Israel said, whatever you have said, we shall do. So they accepted the proposal. And today I want you here to accept the proposal of Adonai Hashem, the Lord. He wants to be with you. He wants to be your husband. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Abba, your father, your daddy, okay? I need a daddy. I need my Abba Kadosh to abide in me, to abide in my house, to give me power. Hallelujah. In Hebrew, let's go back. In Hebrew, will be something like Hebrew with a Spanish accent, right? Kol asher diber Adonai na'ash. Rabbi Jim, was that right? Thank you. Can we say that? Kol asher diber Adonai na'ash. Which means we will do whatever you say in my words, right? And in your bulletin, this is my bulletin from last week. I write what all the Rabbi Jim said. In your bulletin, you have a ketubah contract. Because I'm telling you, I want all the things that I'm preaching to become accomplished today. This is not a theoretical thing. I want a practical thing. Do you have that? If not, in the very last share, there are like maybe 50 more copies. You have a ketubah contract. The purpose of that ketubah contract, it is to frame it in the Dollar Tree frame, maybe, and put it, post it in your house to remember that you have a God, that the God of Israel is your God, that you are under covenant. Is anyone missing the ketubah in the very last share beneath you? Yep. And what the Lord proposed in this ketubah contract was the Ten Commandments. Right? I am excited. I am about to marry my Lord. Hallelujah. A signature has power. If a signature had the power for the bank to lend me almost $200,000 to buy my house because I signed, imagine how much of a power this signature of yours is going to have when you commit to the Lord, when you accept his ketubah. Hallelujah. This is a legal contract that we are about to do. If you have a pen, you can read it. You should know that because it's the Ten Commandments. And sign it. Come on, let's sign the ketubah. Let's come one with the Lord. Let's say, yes, I will do how you command me to do. I will be your people. I will be your child. Amen. Save it. Post it in your house. Let everybody know that you are under a covenant, that you are under a marriage contract with the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your proposal, Father God. Thank you because we are no longer abandoned. Thank you because we are no longer orphans. Thank you because now we have a Father. Hallelujah. Thank you because now we have your strength. Oh, glory to you. Oh, Baruch Atah Adonai. Oh, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. Thank you for inviting us to this marriage contract. Thank you for extending, Father God, your mercy and your love for the people of Israel and now to us in this house. Oh, glory to you. Hallelujah. Oh, while this were happening, all the thunders were on and the shofar was louder and louder and louder, and the Lord was talking and talking, and they were saying, I would do whatever you say. I would do as you have told us to do. Oh, glory to the Lord. That's why when this morning the thunderstorm, I said, hey, we are in the ketubah. Hey, I am here. The Lord is in my house. Hallelujah. Those who love the Lord shall not fear, right? I was not fearing. I was rejoicing at 6 in the morning. I said, Shavuot is here. And the Lord is letting me know and remembering me that this is what happened 4,000 years ago and with all the thunders. And he is willing to do exactly the same thing. Do you think it's a coincidence that among 365 days, today was the thunderstorm that we are celebrating, anticipating Shavuot? It's not a coincidence, God. It's the hand of the Lord upon his people. Okay? Let's start moving in the supernatural. You want to see miracles? You got to step in the supernatural. Okay? It is enough with the science. And I'm okay with science. I have a degree in science. But let's start believing. Let's start thinking in the supernatural. Let's stop saying, well, that was a coincidence. Because two clouds shock one with the other, and an electrical, the neurons, and protons. No, it was the hand of the Lord. To me, was the hand of the Lord. Remind me it. I was asking for signs all week long. Lord, I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be teaching your word. Please back me up. What a way to back me up with a thunderstorm this morning. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Call a share the bird Adonai and ask, we will do however you said. If we go to the next slide. So we're saying this is the ketubah contract, right? It's a wedding contract. Next slide. And all ketubah contract in the next slide has two stages. The first stage of the marriage in Jewish tradition is what we will call here in America the engagement stage. With the difference that once you are engaged, it's basically like you are married. You cannot look upon no one else. Right? You got to be faithful. You cannot cohabit. You cannot have sexual relationship. You cannot touch further than what you need to touch. But in the first stage, you are still under a contract. You are still abiding under a contract. Now, on the second stage, Nisuim, is the stage where the couple cohabit. The first stage happened at Mount Sinai, right? I propose you. If you say yes, I will comply with what I said. I went to my father-in-law, my wife right there. Thank you for following me with my crazy agenda. I went to her father 22 years ago, and I said, I'm a righteous man, and I want to marry your daughter. If you agree, I will make her happy, and I will give her a house, and I will protect her, and I will take good care of her, and we would try to be happy, and I'm going to be with her even when she's sick, even when she is in her worst time, I'm going to be with her. That was the first part. He said yes. 9 months after, we got married. That was the second part. Are you following me? You have to follow me in order to understand what happened at Mount Sinai. The first part was the ketubah contract. If you obey my commandments, if you don't kill, if you don't worship idols, if you have me only as your God, then I will be your God. That's the ketubah contract. Now, when the second part was about to happen, when God was about to cohabit with his people, because they had accepted the first part of the marriage contract, and in parentheses, there may be a million ways to interpret this. This is just one more way, okay? Maybe in the last 50 years, you have heard this in different ways. This is just one more way. In the second part, when God was about to cohabit, right, with his people, a few chapters after, there was Aaron doing what? Worshiping other gods. And the second part of the marriage contract could not happen. Yes. And the first part is the engagement part. It did happen. Second part is where God was supposed to cohabit with his people, be one. But when he was about to do that, his people were already adultering, worshiping other gods. Oh my gosh. How quickly were these people? First, they were all excited. First, they were all, yes, we will do whatever you say. Thunders and shofar and a lot of things. And yes, 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 yes. And then a few chapters after, they were worshiping other idols. So the second part of the marriage ceremony did not happen. I want you to picture yourself for 1 minute. How many times have we done that? Yes, Lord, we will do. Yes, Lord, if you heal me from this flu, I promise you I will give you my whole salary next Friday. Comes next Friday and you don't come to the synagogue. Right? How many times have we done that? But you know what? The Lord knows more than what we know. And he's more merciful than what we think. Let's go to the next slide, please. Oh, my God. Then in Jeremiah 31, he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The covenant was partially fulfilled at Sinai, but they could not cohabit together because the people were adultering with all their gods. So it was fulfilled up to the middle, up to halfway. Now, the father again take the first step and says, you know what? I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And I'm going to fulfill once again. I'm going to try to fulfill what we started at Mount Sinai. We have to accomplish that. And in Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to do a new covenant with you. Next slide. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Next slide. I will put my Torah within them. This is what's supposed to happen in the first place at Sinai, not only in the two tablets, but in their heart. But that part, it was never accomplished because they were adultering with other gods. I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it on their heart. I will be their God and they will be my people. These are basically the same words used at Mount Sinai. I will be your God and you will be my people. Right? Don't you love my Abba, my king? He's always giving the first step. He's always so proactive. And even when I fail, even when I'm so diminished, he extends his hands and he tells me, I'm going to do a new covenant with you. I'm going to be again with you. I'm going to forgive you. It doesn't matter how many times you have failed. I am the Lord your God, the one who erases, the one who washes out your sins. I love my king. I love my king. And the best part is that he's always proactive. When I think that I'm the one being proactive, asking for forgiveness, he have granted me he has forgiven me already and extended forgiving through so many ways. He's always proactive. He's always extending his hand. Next slide, please. For I will forgive their iniquity. Rabbi Jim gave three services about sin, iniquity, and all the different kinds of sins in the Hebrew word, right? For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And I want you to understand this. When Abba Kadosh, when my King, when my Savior forgives your sin, he remembers those sins no more. Even though your mother, even though your spouse, even though your neighbor accuses you, and even though how Satan accuses you, the Lord will not remember those sins again. Are you understanding that? Because some people will say, well, I still have this from when I was 13, when I was 20. My background does not allow me to worship. My background does not allow me to move flags. My background does not allow me to be part of the worship team. Well, you are saying that because my God, my Abba Kadosh, is not saying that. He's saying that once you are forgiven. So we need to stop feeling guilty for sins that are already been forgiven and washed out from our body, from our soul, from our minds, okay? Is that okay? Let's continue. And I tell you, we're going Exodus, Jeremiah, and then we're going to end with the gospel and Acts, right? As we continue in this line of time in Torah, Luke 24, the promise of Avinu, of our Father, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. And this is in relation to what was supposed to happen in Sinai and what he promised in Jeremiah. Now Yeshua repeats the same thing. Okay? And I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from high. I love how Yeshua is always quoting Torah. He did not bring a new doctrine. He did not bring the Christianity Bible. He did not bring the Jehovah Witness Bible. He brought Torah. He spoke Torah. He cited Torah. Hallelujah. If we continue. But you will receive power once again. Power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witness. And here I have two words, power and witness. You will receive power. Power for what? To become my witness. And what is a witness? A witness is a person that when it's in a trial, in a judge, right, in the court, the witness has a lot of power in his mouth. Huh. Come on, Reuben. Oh, the witness has the power to set someone free or to send someone to jail. If the witness declares in his favor, he is going to be set free. If the witness declares against him, he most likely is going back to jail. That's a witness. As a witness that the Lord wants you to be his witness, you have power in your tongue. You have power in your lips. You have power to send people free. You have the power to set people out of jail. You have the power that he has given you. Because he wants you to become his witness. A witness is protected by the court. You are protected by Yeshua, by my Adonai, when you become his witness. Have you realized that? When they call someone to be a witness, and that witness is like in danger, they will bring protection for him. They will provide protection for that witness. Because they have to preserve the life of the witness, because the witness has a word to speak out in favor or against a person. When you become a witness of the Lord, Yeshua is going to protect your life. Yeshua is going to preserve your life because you have a word in your tongue, in your lips, against the enemy and in favor of other people that need to be set free from their bondage. Hallelujah. So my Lord wants to give you power so you can become his witness. This is once again what was supposed to happen at Mount Sinai. But the Lord never forgets his promises. He doesn't forget his promises. We can forget the covenant. We can go low, 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 low. Low to the mud. We can go as low and deeper as we have gone at times, right? But Abba Kadosh is always there extending his hand, reminding you of the covenant, right? Almost many thousand years after this is what's going on, Yeshua is promising you, I will give you power so you can be my witness. And I think Shema Israel needs both of them. And all the synagogues and all the churches need that. But we, because I'm preaching here, I'm not preaching for the rest. I'm preaching for you. So you need power and you need the ability to become a witness of the Lord. Because in your family, there are people that are waiting for you to set them free. In your family, there is people waiting for you to heal them. In your family, there is people waiting for you to protect your life. And there is even people that you need to speak a word so the Lord may retrieve them away from you. Because we have enemies, don't we? At work, in the neighborhood. Many times, hallelujah, we have enemies. The Lord has given you the authority of being a witness. Are you picturing what a witness is? When I'm a witness, if I declare against Rabbi Jim, Rabbi Jim is going to be in trouble in the court. If I declare in his favor, the judge will rule out in his favor. That same power is in your words. I don't know if you are understanding this, but you have power given from the Lord, not given from Reuben, not given from anybody else, but given from the Lord to be his witness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the good news, to set the captives free, right? To take out of the prison those that are in jail, to break the bondages. You can do that when you become a witness, and a witness with power.
That's what the Lord wants. That's what was supposed to happen at Mount Sinai. And that's what I want to happen in this place right now in the next 10 minutes before we leave this temple. Amen? Can we go for the next slide? When the day of Shavuot had come, this is Acts 2, and we continue in the line of time in Torah, right? When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. And I love this because we are all together in one place right now. When Rabbi Jim was preaching last Shabbat, he was giving all these things and all these prerequisites. And I was saying, we have done that. We have done that. He was saying, we need to be united. I said, we've been united. We need to be in expectancy. And I was telling Judy, we are in expectancy. We need to be praying. And I was saying, well, for 49 days, we've been praying now. So now everything is there. We are just in expectancy mode to happen what needs to be done, to happen what needs to be happened, to get the plenty of the Holy Spirit. The dunamis, right? The dunamis, the dynamite. Let the Spirit to explode in yourself so you can be a witness. Hallelujah. No tally, no keep, I'm sorry. I hope you still love me. I'm too excited. So when Shavuot had come, like a day like today, they were all gathering.
They were all together in one place. The Ruach HaKodesh came in. First time started to preach about Yeshua.
The same Peter that had denied him for three times, now, because he was in the right place with the right people celebrating the feast of the Lord, he was invested with power, he became a witness, and then he spoke a word. You see, Rabbi Jim was telling me they were also together because most likely they were asking the Lord for forgiveness. Because they had not accepted or obeyed the Torah at Sinai. And I can cope with both things. I can converse those two ideas, right? They were together because they were celebrating Shavuot. They spent the night together because they were asking for forgiveness. So when we ask for forgiveness and we are in the right place with the right people celebrating the feast of the Lord, then we can expect to be invested, to be fully, to be completely filled with the Ruach HaKodesh of the Lord. And then we can become a witness and we can start preaching what we need to preach. I am telling you, this is a word of signs. There are many people in your house, I know this, that needs your word to be set free. Stand in the gap for your family. Pray for your family. Do not desist. Do not give up. The plan of the Lord is perfect. You hear because you need to hear that you have the power and the authority from God to act in behalf of your family. I'm going to tell you more. If your family is abiding under your house and you're the head of the household, you have plenty authority, legal authority upon them. No matter if they 40, 50, 60, you have legal authority upon them. I have legal authority to pray and break out, right, and set free everyone who dwells in my house. Because I'm the one who pays the mortgage. It's my house. So because you are in my house, and when people go into my house, where is who? Someone came to my house like a month ago, and I told them, when you cross that threshold, you are under my spiritual guidance. And I am to take care of you. And I am to provide for all your needs while you're here. And you are to provide for all your needs while someone is living in your house. You have the power from God. You have the authority from God. And God is giving you the power to become a witness today. People perish because of lack of knowledge. But now you know better. Now you know that He wants you to become a witness. That you have the power to speak it out and it shall be done. Because He is your God. You're not going to speak in your behalf. You're going to speak on His behalf. Plus, you have the power of being a witness. And Romans says, for I'm not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God. It's the power of God. For salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And this is what happened with Peter. First, he was afraid. He denied Yeshua for three times. You remember that?
Do you know him now? But he was not too convincing with that no, because the soldiers say, huh, you talk like he talks. Are you talking like Yeshua talks? Are you talking the language of the kingdom? Because if not, you should start talking the language of the kingdom. Peter was talking the language of the kingdom. Because the soldiers say, huh? You say, no, but you talk like they talk. You talk similar to them. You talk the same way. Let's start talking the language of the kingdom in our house. Even if nobody knows the Lord, let's start talking the language of the kingdom. Let's break through. Let's have a breakthrough in our house, okay? Why don't we start talking about Shavuot, about Chaitin, about Pentecost, about Torah, about the Psalms? Even if nobody understands, they will get a little by little. Okay? So this is what happened with Peter. He was afraid, but because he was invested, he now was preaching the power of God. And I'm going to end with this. The news, the good news, is power of God. It's not just words. It's not just studies. It's not philosophy. It's not theology. It's power of God. And that's why there's no power of God. There is theology, there is philosophy, there is a lot of good thoughts, and there is a lot of let's do the 3 steps for successful and let's do the 10 step for this, which is good. I'm not against that. But if there's no power of the Holy Spirit, that is in vain. That has to be at the same place where the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit here, and then all the teachings here. I pray the Lord that this will be a new beginning for this house. I pray the Lord that we all will be with new clothes as we get out of here today and as we come to the prayer sessions today. I pray the Lord that he will continue to pour his Holy Spirit. I pray the Lord that what happened at Sinai, that what happened in your life maybe many years ago, and maybe you did not fulfill the whole marriage contract, you just stayed in that first part, that today you will go into that second part. What happened in Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And then there was the second part of the marriage ceremony. The Lord cohabited. The Lord came one flesh with the apostles and with disciples. Amen. So that's my prayer for today. Can we pray? Can we become in one agreement? Can we become one voice and say, yes, Lord, we will do as you have said. Yes, Lord, I need the power from your Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, I need to become a witness. I would like maybe the intercessory team, the prayer team, to stand up with me and help me pray. Is that okay? I want to pray. I need the power from the Lord. And I need more and more and more power. It's not just a little bit. I need to be fully, fully invested. Rabbi Jim was mentioning the difference between receive and fell on, come on. The way that I got this when I was sitting there was like, sometimes I receive an email saying, hi, I miss you. But it's not the same thing that my wife sends me a text, I love you. I receive an email. But when she comes upon me and she hugs me and she cuddles me and she kisses me, then I felt her upon me. That's what may happen with the Holy Spirit, okay? Hallelujah. To become one flesh. It is a marriage contract. Okay? Prayer team, where are you? Come on. Help me pray. And you can stand in all 4 corners. You don't have to be here, but let us pray. Can we pray in the freedom of the Holy Spirit? Can we pray in the freedom of the Holy Spirit? Okay. We are in Shavuot, day 49. Anything can happen. We are celebrating the feast just like the apostles were doing. We are praying just like the apostles were doing. And we are expecting just like the apostles were expecting. Hallelujah. I just want to have all this room explode in one voice, worshiping the Lord. if we could do this at least for 1, 2, 3 minutes, okay, let's make a joyful sound of worship and prayer to the Lord. I would like the worship team even to come here. I would like to hear things in the Spirit. Are we expecting something overnatural, supernatural? Okay. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. Those of you who can stand up, you can stand up. If not, just stay seated. I don't want you to get tired. Give me just 3 more minutes, please. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.